stuff on.
Croaking honey chicken.
Yeah. Seems to be this thing with like sometimes people have been doing like white meat with sweet sides. Had like a cherry saucy thing.
Cherry saucy thing?
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Kinda.
Hang on, let's do this maybe like that so it's up a bit. Sure. Yeah. Mine was fish. Fish burger.
Fish burger.
Secret burger.
Secret fish burger.
Secret fish burger.
It's not even a euphemism.
No, not in any way at all. Oh, hello there. I didn't see you there. And welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show podcast. Episode, I'm just going to roughly say 4 or 5.
Yeah, I don't.
Let's say 5.
It's not particularly in order.
Let's say 5.
Sure.
Let's say 5.
And if it's not, disregard.
Disregard, yes. Insert number here. So how's everyone doing? We've just finished a whole bunch of demos, and we thought we had some lunch, and we thought let's do a little podcast. So what's new with you, Alex?
What's new with me? Oh, doing lots of gigs lately. That kind of stuff.
Any rain lately?
Funny you mention that.
Yeah.
I got rained out big time for an outdoor gig on Sunday, which is only 2 days ago.
It's Tuesday.
We had a full-on, like, crazy summer storm just come through. Lightning and thunder and cyclonic wind. Just come out of nowhere.
And you should explain to the lovely 3 or 4 people listening, you do production, basically. So you have an entire PA system and backline that is all yours.
Yeah. Outside.
Outside.
In the park.
In the rain. When all the musos and artists cover their hair to make sure it doesn't get wet and run off. Or dreadlocks, in most cases.
Yeah.
And run off. And then they all go, no, you do it. I don't want to get wet.
Yeah. We did have some tense marquee stuff that we had all the staging under. But because of the size of the stage, we had like 2 or 3 marquees joined together.
Uh-huh.
And it was where the joins, so where the roofing of the marquees joined together.
There's basically a waterfall.
Just funnel all the water into that gap, which has happened to be like above the base rig.
And oh, lovely.
On top of my lovely Gretsch drum kit.
Ah, oh, lovely stuff.
La, la, la. So spent the last couple of days pulling things apart and drying things out.
Excellent.
Hooray.
The joys, the joys. Yeah. Anything new in the gear world for you?
I've invested in my very first pedal train.
Ah. Choo-choo.
I'm starting at the bottom, almost the bottom. I've got a Nano Plus.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty small.
I'll have to show you. It's upstairs. Yeah, it's for my acoustic pedal board.
Okay.
So I do quite a few like acoustic gigs around the place with another singer friend, and we kind of do a lot of weddings and corporate stuff, so I always kind of take a pedal or two just to entertain myself.
Okay.
I thought I should have a pedal board for this,
not just a pedal floor.
No, no. Right. Just kick it around on the cement or something. Yeah, so
cool.
So far I'm definitely going to put the Avalanche Run on there. Earthquaker.
Yes, if you haven't watched that demo, please go and do.
Yeah. Sat really nicely with the acoustic guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Was that last week or the week before my last acoustic gig?
Wow.
And, yeah, it's good.
Cool.
And I think I'm going to get a Chorus. I know you're...
A Chorus? Ooh, what about...
Anti-chorus.
What about the poly...
The anti-chorus.
What about a poly... What a polytope.
That might be a bit full on for an acoustic guitar.
I reckon it'd be great. It'll make it much more fun.
That's a good segue, because we just did a review like
Thanks.
An
Thanks.
Hour ago. What's the company called? Iron
Ether.
Ether.
Wild pedal. That's very wild.
Yeah. So a friend of ours, Grant, lent us this.
Hello, Grant.
It's kind of a chorus thing, but also does like some pitch vibrato-esque and this like Nazi modulation.
It kind of is the emphasis here of kind of a chorus. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's definitely wild. It's out there.
But I was actually thinking to get one of the Electro Harmonix choruses. like a one of the stones.
Is it a clone or is it a stone?
Oh,
I always mix that up, which one is a clone, and the small clone and then the small stone. I think the stone is the phaser and the clone is the... Because then there's also clone theory, which is a chorus vibrato that they brought up later.
And there's a nano and neo clone.
Yes.
I was looking at the neo one, which is like... It's only cheap. It's like 50, 60 bucks.
One knob thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Because I got a little bored and I want a little...
You should get the Wazacraft CE2. C2.
Oh, all right.
CE2, whatever it
is. They're doing a chorus too.
The chorus Wazacraft, yeah.
Yeah. I've got...
Which has got vibrato on it as
I've
well.
Got an original one. No. What's mine? C3.
PO? we do wear glasses, yes.
I think mine might be broken, but I've got one of the old chorus ones.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Should check it out. Should see if we can get a hand of the
trying to get fixed.
Hold of the Wazacraft one and because I think it's got the original chorus ensemble setting. It's got
cool, yeah.
The C
big black thing.
C is it CE2? Just the little blue one, the next with the 2-knob one. And then it's got a vibrato setting too.
I've got the 3-knob one, which is must be the one after that.
I think there was a 2-knob one originally to C. Yeah. And we got after one of the other episodes, got a message from a friend of ours, Tim, from Mojo Stomp Boxes. Hi Tim, if you're listening. He was saying he was cringing when we were talking about the
the digital delay.
Digital delay 4.
Yeah.
The DD4. There wasn't a DD4.
Turns out
there is a reason why there isn't a DD4. Yeah.
It's in Japan. Is it, what was it?
It's, I think four. It's very, the word for the number 4 is very similar to, or the same word or something for death, is it?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that, he said, and so there wasn't a DD4, so there was a 2, a 3, a 5, a 6, and a 7, but no 4, yeah. And we said DD4, so sorry if we're saying wrong numbers again, Tim, but yeah, I think it was a CE2 was the blue one.
2-knob one.
The 2-knob one. And then there was the next one had 3 knobs on it.
Yep.
And
it's the one I got somewhere.
Yeah.
I should find that.
But anyway, yeah, there was a craft that did.
I think I got that chorus years and years ago. I think I swapped a DS1 for it.
Ah.
Which is probably a good swap.
Blue for orange.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, so we did... What else did we demo just before? We did the Iron Ether.
The Teletronics Mulholland Drive.
Mulholland Drive, yes. A big thank you to Marcus as well. Marcus from Teletronics, who lives up here on the Sunshine Coast. And, yeah, he gave us a Mulholland Drive to try out and do a demo of. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it's cool. I personally thought it really excelled into a dirty amp.
Kind of. Me too, actually, yeah.
I think it's where that kind of
I think style it sounds,
of drive really...
It sounded good into the clean amp. It sounded good as a... Into the clean amp, it sounded good to me as a clean boost.
Yeah.
Because it gave the clean a bit of... Just a nicer tone, bit of sparkle to it.
Yeah, and a bit more...
A bit more
weight,
a bit more body to it. But then with the gain up, it sounded great into the dirty channel of the amp, so into the driven amp. I mean, it sounds great all up. There's nothing wrong with it, but it just I thought that's a two times when it sounded really, really excellent.
For sure.
As a slightly EQ'd and ever so slightly gained up clean boost, and as a gain boost for a already driven amp. And what else did we do? We did the...
Oh, the octave.
Fox Rocks Octron.
Octron.
That was great. That thing's great. I got to get myself one of them.
Yep.
That was really, really cool. That's a great sounding analog octaver.
Yeah, it's really cool because it has octave up and down.
And the octave up goes through... Is it germanium or silicon?
It's germanium, yeah.
Germanium. I always said a wrong one. If you do listen to the podcast a little bit every once in a while, you'll start finding out that I'm very bad with Anything. Remembering things. Anything. I'm bad with numbers. I'm shocking with. And with, you know, whether it's germanium or silicon and what diodes and blah, 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 blah. I'm very bad with remembering that sort of stuff. But yeah, so the octave upside had gain to it.
Yeah.
The octave downside is a really clean octave down. And then there's another knob in the middle for just a straight tone. But the octave up sounded great. Sounded really, really cool. Yeah, it goes through through two diodes.
Two stages of love.
Yes.
It's really cool adding the some drive to the upper octave. Because the bottom one, if you drive that, it's just going to get muddy.
Yeah. So it retains that nice, you hear the notes, the character of the notes, but you have that synthy kind of almost sound on top of it. I really dug it. Yeah, I think I've got to get myself one of them.
Cool. Okay, well, that leads us to wish list.
Wish list? Well, I actually just bought some stuff off my wish list.
But speaking of, I know this is a guitar pedal show. How's your synth going? Because you got a new synth, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I've got a... I'm a little bit into the synthy stuff. I used to always be a little bit, but I think I'm getting more and more into it now. Yeah, I just bought an Arturia Micro... No, Mini Brute. Not the Micro Brute, Mini Brute. Analog synth. It's great. I really like it. It's wild. It's out there.
I'll have to hear it.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do a demo.
Sure.
And run it through some pedals.
Or we could do the shootout of the filter pros from Line 6 while we're doing
it. I think we've been talking about that on the last two podcasts. We should do that.
Because I have the rack mount filter pro. It's a big purple rack of useless fun times.
And I've got the purple four-button version of it.
You got
the FM4, I think it is. But what we should do, what I actually did, and this is sort of transitioning back to guitar from the synth, I've got a Chaos Pad.
Oh, yeah, cool.
The KP3 Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Not just 3 Plus. And I hooked it up now, with your help, through my mixer at home.
Yeah.
So I can have it like as an auxiliary. I can use the effects and all the channels, yada, yada, yada. And I mainly sort of wanted to set it up for the synth so I can have filters and extra filters and delays and all that sort of stuff for the synth, and also a little bit for vocals just for silly effects and stuff. But what I ended up doing is I ended up started using the Chaos Pad a bit on guitar, and it sounds great.
Oh, cool. So how do you run that?
Well, same as that. So I just run my guitar through that using Kettner amp. And now also... another new little thing, two notes torpedo cab simulator straight into my mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just add an auxiliary thing to it. You know,
like, sure, okay, send it off.
Do that auxiliary send so it goes through the Chaos Pad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really cool sounds on it. So, that's something we should do at some stage too, is do the Chaos Pad on guitar thing.
Sure, we could do it through the console here too. Yeah.
Well, you can. It has just a phono jack in and out up the front, so you can plug just a guitar cable into it and a guitar cable out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I've got it set up is I've got the RCAs in the back, RCA into stereo thing.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's really cool. It's actually, there's some really cool effects on the Chaos Pad for guitar.
Nice.
That you can... some of the filters and delays sound really cool, and you've got that hold function where, because it's got that trackpad, but then if you like a certain sound, you can press hold and it just, whatever the parameters are that the trackpad sort of things, you know, because the trackpad is sort of multiple parameters you're doing at once.
Yeah.
So on the Chaos Pad, as you're kind of moving,
it's XY,
the XY thing, the X is one or two different parameters, Y is one or two different parameters.
Ah, cool.
And then as you kind of go up, you get more feedback on delays, but then you also get more intensity if you go certain ways. But and if you like it, where it is, you can, where your finger is, you can press the hold button and it'll keep it there.
Oh, cool.
So you can kind of keep that delay. And it's got slices and all that sort of stuff, which sounds really cool on the guitar, actually. So you find something you like, you press hold and then you play through it and it sounds really cool.
Nice. Actually, speaking of slicer, that's that Boss thing, isn't it?
The Boss, yeah, I almost bought one of them.
Yeah, I think I might need to get one. I was watching a the video with Tim and Pete and Michael Thompson.
That's Tim Pierce and Pete Thorne, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No, just my mate Tim and
Timmy and Peter.
Yeah, those guys. Tim and Pete Guitar Show
from Yandina.
Yeah. And they were saying they hook their slicer up via MIDI to Pro Tools and have it synced up with the tempo clock.
Oh.
So it's always in time and whenever they need it, because they're all session guys. Yeah, so it's always I'm sure you could do it with like MIDI tap tempo with your looper and things like that.
You probably could, yeah. It's they had one secondhand at Music at Noosa a while ago and I almost bought it, but then someone else bought it. Yeah, it's interesting. It's, I mean, after a while, it's kind of like a glorified tremolo, really. But
yeah, sure.
It's pretty cool. It was, I quite liked it.
Oh, speaking of tremolo.
Oh, this is where, turn on your spy cameras again, folks.
Can you see this through the microphone? I got a new trem, and it's from Dreadbox.
Mm-hmm.
That's the company, isn't it?
Yep.
It's called the Tuft, and it's like, it's definitely come from the synth world.
Well, it's got the wooden panels on the side, kind of.
Yeah, looks Moog-esque. Yeah, that's a cool thing. I've only had a quick play with it because I lent it to you, so
I need and to. I only had a quick play with it at home as well.
Yeah, need to explore a bit more of it. Excuse me. Yeah, some really cool stuff going on, and I think they do lots of modular stuff.
Oh. See, that's another thing I'm getting into as well.
So, Dreadbox Tuff.
Yeah. T-A-F-F.
Mm.
Tremolo and...
No, it's tremolo.
F-F.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So there'll be a video coming for that soon.
That'll come out soon. Well, we've actually been quite busy since our last...
Yeah.
Podcast in terms of gear we acquired.
Spending money,
yeah. There's been a couple of things that have been, well, you've got that, and you've got also got that fuzz.
Yeah, but is it T-Rex?
T-Rex.
Yeah, the little yellow, this little yellow T-Rex fuzz. And I got a death metal distortion.
Oh, yeah.
Death metal distortion from Digitech.
Which actually sounded kind of cool. We plugged it in today. We used it as part of a different demo.
Yeah, I kind of like that it has no gain control.
It's just gain. Just
always the gain down
level.
It's definitely worth the $20 I spent on it.
Yes, and as we now know through all the reviews, all the comments we get on our metal shootout, the Fab Metal versus Metal Zone, the metal guys love us, so we should do another metal shootout. Might do that one versus. I'll get some other metal pedal. Oh, we might get some. Tim from Mojo Stompboxes might send us up some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Not hyper metal.
The digital metalizer.
That's right.
That sounded cool. So we might do some more metal-esque shootouts.
I also got a Dan Echo, old Dan Electro, analog delay. But I've seemed to have broken it.
No, that's not good.
After like 5 minutes of playing. The first 5 minutes sounded really good. And now it's stopped working, so.
That's a paperweight.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's like, you know,
need to murder someone, we've got it handy.
Yeah. Now I think I'm up to date with my purchases.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been busy.
Yeah, I've been busy.
Now, I've just, and I mean, this is sort of a... For me, was for a while a bit of a topic of conversation almost. I got my first JHS experience.
Mm.
I got the JHS muffaletta and kilt.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's sort of annoying, but I like them both. Now, look, JHS, I mean, I'm sure they're the big company, lots of people like them. To me, and no disrespect to JHS, to me, JHS always seemed to be a let's make clones company, you know? Like, I'm sure they do other things too, but it just seems like most of the pedals they release are sort of clones. And, in a lot of cases, you know, I've got some of the old Marshall stuff that they've cloned, for example, and I know they all these sort of old Marshall pedals, and a lot of the old pedals have that sort of reliability issues and sort of, you know, breaking a lot kind of thing behind it. But and you know, it's good having more modern, better working versions. But I was always a bit, JHS. But I really like both of them. They're really good pedals.
I haven't owned any yet, but I think they kind of look great and they sound good from what I've seen on other videos.
Yeah.
But they might be a little bit priced at slightly.
Well, that's the thing. That's sort of the thing that always kind of, with me, that's the thing where I always kind of went, well, it's a copy, really, of another already existing pedal, but it's not really any cheaper than what they copy, if not more expensive in some cases. Mm. But in saying that, again, I mean, I really like the Muffaletta. It may or may not. I mean, all the different styles of Big Muffs on there may or may not really sound exactly like what they're meant to copy. Mm. But in the end, that doesn't, to me. That's one of the things that always kind of annoyed me. You know, people go, I got this Axe FX and I played the Mesa Boogie, you know, emulated amp on there, and it didn't sound exactly like my Mesa Boogie. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, who cares? It still sounds good. I mean, in the end, if it's good, it's good. I haven't tried it. I beat it with other Big Muffs. Out of all the sounds on there, I do like the JHS sound the best. I think that's, to me, that's the best sounding Big Muff sound on there.
Muffs, do you have?
Hey,
that's not even a joke.
No, I only have two. I've got like a standard
Big Hazard,
like maybe 10 years ago now, just a standard US Big Muff.
Yeah, that's the one I've got too.
And I've got the Tim guitars, TYM, Australia, which is the Ram's Head version, which is that, I guess, mid-70s or whatever it is version of it. It's one which is apparently less gain but more open or something like that, which is one of the five different muff settings on there. One I always wanted to have was the green Russian one.
Yeah, cool.
Never. A friend of mine owned one, and I always thought it sounded really, really good. So one of the settings on there is the green muff Russian setting too. But like I said, the JHS setting, I do like the best, the sound of it. And also the Kilt, which
it's
basically meant to be a copy of the Expandora.
Mm.
Even though I've got two Expandoras, I haven't AB'd it yet, but it does sound, it reminds me of it.
Yep.
Maybe it was a slightly altered sound.
Yeah.
And you can't get quite as out there, because it's got those switches as well, like the Expandora's on the inside. And you can't get quite as out there as you can on the original Expandora, like with the forbidden setting. But the cool thing on it is that you have a boost. You have a clean boost, basically, on it, on the Kilt.
Is that pre or post? Or?
Well, you can select where you want it. So you have a toggle switch where you can go either pre or post. And that actually is pretty cool. I like that.
Cool.
So, and again, I haven't AB'd it with the actual Expandoras, but in the end, I like the sound of it. So whether it really sounds like an Expandora, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, if you get a kick out of playing it, use it.
So I think it sounds really, really good, and I like it, and it's going to end up on my board. And
cool. Because you've got an Expandora on there at the moment.
I've got one of the original Expandoras on there, but they are a little bit fragile I mean, it's old. It's as much as it makes me feel old, but it's from the mid-90s, like 93, 94, I think they came out, the Expandora. The first one.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I sort of kind of finished high school around those days, so it makes me feel old. But, you know, they're old pedals, so they're not going to be in perfect nick. And I do like the Kilt, so check out the Kilt. We're going to do a demo of that. We haven't done a demo of it yet, but we're going to do a demo of it. So yeah, that's my first venture into JHS, and I like it. Great. Like I said, it's silly to say, unfortunately, I like it, but I do like it. And I do, maybe my view of JHS is sort of changing ever so slightly. Cool. Because yeah, it is slightly altered, maybe, to the original. So
I think we're both kind of, just through circumstance, slightly late coming to the party with some of these new brands.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, JHS has been around for ages. They've
been around for, we're both a bit late with Keeley stuff, especially his new things.
Yeah.
We need to get onto that.
Yeah.
It's making some pretty cool stuff.
I'm still waiting, on my Bubbletron.
Oh, yeah.
Roger. Signal chain. Roger. I'm in no rush, but I've bought a lot of stuff.
I've got Earthquaker one, but Walrus Audio is another one winner.
Yeah, haven't actually gotten. I'd love to try out that new film projector thing.
Yeah, is that the
308 or something like that? Or
85? 65?
I don't know, something like that, whatever the number is. See, we're bad with numbers. I'd love to try that out, actually.
Yeah, it's a cool concept for a film.
But yeah, there's a couple of these brands that are sort of really kind of, I mean, trendy is maybe a bad word to use.
They're good
quality brands, but they are kind of the trendy sort of brands at the moment. And Walrus is definitely one of those now. Mm. They're sort of, I definitely love to check some of that stuff out.
Is it the Janus with the joysticks?
Yeah.
Father's Tram?
Yeah, I'd like to try that out. That'd be cool. Yeah. Anything with a joystick on it.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds cool to me. another thing, speaking of Roger and Signal Chain, Signal Chain, if you get a chance to check him out, that's just, it's a online sort of boutique pedal shop here in Australia, but they do ship worldwide. And if you watched our demo of the Flux Liquid Ambience, which we've done a while ago, we might do another one of it now.
Yeah.
Where we look a little,
pull that out again.
Little less awkward than we did back then. I mean, not that we look a lot less awkward now, but a little less than we did back then. Great reverb if you want after, fantastic reverb. And he's sort of one of the only distributors, I think, you can buy direct, but he's one of those distributors. Anyway, I bought a two notes Torpedo Cab off him. And it's great. Really like it.
So you're using it with your new Hughes and Kettner head?
Yeah, so I've been using, if you've watched the demo, and I think we talked about it a little bit in the last podcast, I just got a Hughes and Kettner TubeMeister.
Is it 20?
Deluxe 20. 20 Deluxe? Yeah.
Whatever.
TubeMeister 20 Deluxe. One of the new ones that came out start of the year. And it's really, really good. And I've been using it live, and I've been using the red box out, going directly into PA live gigs. And you know, a lot of purists would probably argue that it doesn't sound exactly like Steve Ray Vaughan's amps, but
hey man, he just didn't have cab simulation.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean. A lot of purists would say that it doesn't sound like a valve amp, and it does have some digitalness about it, and it does have some solid stateness about it. But in a live setting, I think it's not that huge of a problem. But I mean, we talked about it last time. But so I got this two notes Torpedo Cab thing, this sort of stomp box sized one, not the rack mount one. So it doesn't have the load box in it. And,
yeah.
I plugged it in, and so you can plug it in, same kind of thing as you do with going direct through the red box of the Hughes and Kettner amp. You can switch that off, so you can just have the dry signal coming out straight out of the preamp.
Yep.
And the Torpedo Cab thing, you hook it up to your computer, and then you've got you can do lots of editing on a computer. It's got power amp simulation as well.
Okay,
you can choose 606s or what's the other one? KT88s is one, which I quite like, actually, the on there. And then EL34s, EL84s. So you can change the... It's got like a virtual power amp section. And then you've got all the speakers and different microphones, and then you can move the microphone around in a room and put it closer, further away, and, you know, closer to the center of the cone or the outside of it. And it sounded really, really good. And I thought, oh, this sounds great. And then I went to the Two Notes, the company that makes it, has an online shop.
Yep.
Where you kind of, you go there through the software that you download for your that links up to the actual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try out a whole bunch of other, they've got tons more online that you can buy. And all the ones you can buy, or all the ones I tried, sound even better than the ones that I loaded on it. So they sounded really, really good. So I bought a couple of them and was really, really happy with it. And then I kept hearing...
Not that expensive, though, like the...
No, they're like $9 or something like that, yeah, for cool, one of them. Okay. And sometimes you get extra mics and stuff with it as well.
Okay, cool.
But anyway. I think it's $9.99 possibly.
Mm-hmm.
US for one of those. Anyway, and then I kept hearing through a lot of Pete Thorne in particular demos.
Yeah.
He always talks about Own Hammer.
Yeah, I've heard that too, yeah.
And then I heard, because I listened to the, and you all should too if you get a chance, the Guitar Wank podcast,
yep,
which I really like. And Scott Henderson was talking about how he uses some... a cab simulation in the studio as well, and he uses his Own Hammer IRs, impulse responses. So I went, oh, okay, let's check them out. So I bought, I looked through them all, and I ended up buying an old Vox 2x12 cabinet with Celestian Blues in it.
So you can sample,
you can sort of preview. You can preview it. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So I bought that. So it's a 2x12 with Celestian Blue speakers in it.
Okay, cool.
And I bought a 4x10, because I like 4x10s, because I've got
you got one.
My amp is a 4x10, and I always really like the sound of it. And there's one that's based on like a Fender 4x10, like a basement type thing.
Yeah, cool.
So bought that, but I really, really dig the 2x12 Vox cabinet with Celestian Blues in it, and that sounds, I reckon, even better than all the Two Note stuff. It sounds really, really good.
Yeah, cool.
So we're going to do a demo of that as well. I'm pretty sure coming up soon.
Mm.
But yeah, that sounds great. So I'm actually going to do my first live gig with it this weekend.
Nice one.
And then I'll report back to say. It all went, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I want to try it too, because I was kind of half toying with the idea of getting the one with the load box for the studio here.
Yeah. And I think if you get the bigger one, the double rack space one, you can have, I think you can have multiple heads plugged into it, not just one.
Oh yeah, cool.
Possibly
for stereo.
Yeah,
stereoizing.
Because I think the stomp box one and the single rack space, which I think is called Torpedo Live,
uh-huh,
are exactly the same except for the load box. So the cool rack mount one has a load box, but the actual everything else is exactly the same as the stomp box one. And in the studio, I think it's a better load box or something like that, and I think you could possibly hook multiple heads up to it. Don't quote me on that, but possibly.
Yeah.
And you can also have with the with mine and the Torpedo Live, you can only have one cabinet and one mic.
Gotcha.
And I think with the studio, you can have multiple different cabinets and different mics.
Cool.
At once. So you can have one head going through multiple speakers with multiple mics.
Mm.
I think that's the main difference between them.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, it's... I'm impressed.
Yeah, okay.
I'm really impressed.
I'll have to hear it.
Yeah, well, I've got it here, but we didn't get a chance to do it today. But, and then, if that's not enough, I got a...
Speedy fine, no.
No, and I got a Digitech Supernatural Reverb.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. It's a really, really cool Reverb.
That's fine.
And I think that's it. Is that it? Did you get anything else? Since last time? No, I think that's enough anyway, but yeah.
Favorite stuff.
So that's... that. Stay tuned for all those. There'll be a bunch of demos coming up soon.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, the other thing I was going to bring up.
Yes.
So it looks like Fender is... It has nothing to do with pedals, but Fender's releasing a new series. what is it called? The American Pro Series or something like that? Hang on, I've got it on my phone here somewhere. And I believe it's coming out in Australia before it comes out anywhere else. The American Pro Series.
It would be the first time in ever.
That something comes out in Australia first.
Yeah.
Looks very interesting. So I think it's meant to be sitting somewhere in between the standard series and the what used to be deluxe, now elite series. And I think it's also a little bit moving away from the traditional kind of thing. Like the one I looked at is a Jazzmaster style, because I like Jazzmasters. Comes in some sort of quirky colours, which are pretty cool too. But it's a maple neck and fingerboard with, and they got rid of the rhythm circuit and put the toggle switch up there, but in a kind of a weird spot up there, I find, in an odd spot. But yeah, it's sort of like a like modernized version. And I don't remember exactly this with the Strat and the Tele and all them, but I know they're a bit different as well. So they, I think it's like a series where they're trying to get away from the too traditional kind of thing, and they're kind of trying to bring some of these guitars in a more modern market, which will be interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think we talked about this last time. We're both kind of into the parts castery type thing and building it guitars. And then you got the 60s Jag.
Yep.
Jaguar. And so I guess it's a bit different for us because we both have a bunch of guitars. But would you actually buy a new Fender?
Tell you, one of the only ones that I've played recently that I really, really liked was that, I don't know if I talked about it last time already, but that, whatever his name is out of the Foo Fighters, Chris Shifty, out of the Foo Fighters, sorry Foo Fighters, and sorry Foo Fighters fans, but yeah, it's a Tele with like a deluxe, like the old deluxe style Tele with that big scratch plate on it with two humbuckers in it, and it's in a cool colour too.
Like a pewter type grey silver.
Yeah, so the silver grey thing with that kind of mint green scratch plate. It looked great and it played really, really nice.
Yeah, cool.
But I quite like that one. But yeah, I think I like the parts casters that I made and you made, and I think that way you get something you really want. But I like the idea of Fender trying to do things a bit different and changing things up, not just always the traditional thing.
Yep.
Because it's just boring.
I think it works better for them than it does for Gibson.
Yeah, well, Gibson, I think the new 2017 stuff they just brought out, a lot of people rave about it.
I haven't seen that stuff yet.
Because they now pretty much offer everything, I think, in, what did they call it? They call it the traditional series, but then the other one is the, what's it called? Where it's kind of, so the one side is where you get, after that debacle a couple of years ago where they all had all these robot tuners and stuff on it.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
You have now the more, the one part, the traditional series where it's standard tuners, standard humbuckers, standard neck profiles, blah, 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 blah. But then you get the kind of modern ones now. So you get all, I think you get all of them in the traditional or the modern. And the modern still have the robot tuners on it. And higher output pickups, and I think what's it called? A compound neck radius, or fingerboard radius, and that sort of stuff. Lots of people are raving about it.
There might have been a podcast or something that I heard that they're trying to only have a couple of production models and steer a lot of the other stuff towards their custom shop.
Possibly. I mean, it makes life easier for them. If they, you know, if people fork out that little bit extra and do custom shop stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And it keeps people happier, I guess, because they get what they ask for.
Absolutely. And a lot of people probably, I know a lot of people, a good chunk of people end up modifying guitars anyway.
Yeah.
I guess more so Fender type guitars, because it's easy to swap out a
Yeah, until he just unscrewed.
Yeah,
yeah, something in there. Yeah. So anyway, so that's. I just thought I'll mention that the new Fender series would be interesting. Let us know what your thoughts are about traditional versus non-traditional.
I think they both have their place.
Yeah.
Because I played a telly, a guy that came to the studio just recently, and he had a, it was only 10 or 15 years old, American telly, and it was just played in really nicely.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I think I just need a straight telly.
Well, I think for some things it's good, but yeah, on the other hand, it's just... But what I'm getting at is if they've like to keep releasing these kind of new models, which are basically the same, they're not new.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
I think it's to have the option where you can, if you want, you know, the you know, Blackguard or whatever you call it, that butterscotch Blackguard.
The 50s
style. 50s style telly, you want that, you can get that. But then if you find that a little bit kind of, that's been there, done that.
Yeah,
you can also get different versions of it. You know, I'm all for that. I think it's one of the things with, in my opinion, with guitar. I think guitar and bass more than a lot of other instruments in a non-classical instruments. I'm talking about. I mean, classical world is completely silly with that sort of stuff. But guitar and bass. I think people are a lot of times afraid of new stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we can have a million pedals, but I want them to sound like an old Tube Screamer, and I want them to sound like, you know, whatever the old stuff sounded like.
Yeah.
And I want my valve amp to sound like an old Marshall, and I want my Fender, I want my Strat to sound like Steve Ray Vaughan Strat, because... that's the epitome, you know, of tone for a lot of people. Not for me, but for a lot of people. And it's just that, you know, I think...
it's interesting, yeah.
To me, you know, the way I look at things, I like to mess around with stuff. I like to do stuff that's maybe not so... I mean, to me, the one thing that would not even remotely interest me in any way, shape, or form is to sound like Stevie Ray Vaughan, or to sound like Hendrix, or to sound like David Gilmour, or to sound like, you know, I'm not even remotely interested in that. And I'm happy, more than happy. For example, I mean, I've been doing it. I don't even use amps anymore. I stopped using amps for a while and just used like a Sans amp thing. Because to me, it sounded all right. And in a live context especially, and I mean, in the studio it's a whole different ball game, but in a live context where you're somewhere where you know, and I think that's, I talked about it last time as well, you know, that most venues aren't made for sound. And most people that is where I play anyway, I mean, I'm not lucky enough to, you know, play to sold out stadiums and stuff like that, and if I did, then I'd have people lug all that crap around for me anyway. But you know, I play in restaurants and bars and pubs and whatnot, and the few people that listen to what I do in a live situation like that, in a crappy sounding room, I don't think you really could tell the difference whether I'm using a Dumble amp or I'm using a, I don't know, Sans amp. Or a PV, whatever they call, Bandit.
Trans tube.
You probably couldn't really necessarily tell, because it's an echoey room full of people that are not really interested in being there anyway.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, please feel free to put comments under this. And, but you know what I mean? It's. I think too many people put too much effort into, oh, you got to be, you know, you got to have a valve amp and you got to be a purist. And I mean, in a lot of ways, if it makes you feel better and play better, by all means do it.
Yep.
But I'm someone, I think for me, like, innovation, new stuff, and I'm not talking about me being innovative and new, I'm talking about new stuff that comes out that replaces a lot of this stuff. I embrace it rather than going, oh, whatever. I mean, both of us have used things like Guitar Rig Live.
Yeah, we're both.
You know, we have a laptop sitting there instead of an amp, and you plug into your laptop basically, and I mean, it sounds all right. It didn't feel like an amp, yeah. but it sounded all right. But I mean, you know, a lot of people kind of go, frown upon it. But in the end, 90% of the people, not 98% of the people, yeah. 99%, let's say, of the people, except for one guy who was sitting in the corner, you know, playing with his beard, going, oh, that doesn't sound right. No one would notice the difference.
Yeah.
Whether you use Native Instruments guitar rig or you have a $100,000 Dumble sitting there, no one would notice the difference.
That's it. I guess, I never thought about it like that. There was that era, like, I guess, from the late 50s through to the 70s, where, like, things were...
Well, I mean,
the
really...
The whole, like, development and experimentation really yeah. happened. So, from then on, it's like...
And everyone's
got more game on your Marshall in the 80s, and that's...
Well, and people are afraid to deviate from it. I mean, yeah. if you look at the guitars we play, if you look at the amps we play,
so
it's 50s technology.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
People are more than happy to put lots of pedals in between it, which are all state-of-the-art new Strymon, you know, with the best processors and all that sort of stuff. But then it's to go on about, Mark, you're not using a, you know, if I don't have a tube amp, it just doesn't work. But it does, you know. Yeah. Anyway, that's just me. I'm just a grumpy guy.
I kind of sit in the middle somewhere, I guess, because I grew up... we were talking about this over lunch, listening to a lot of that kind of almost a lot of classic cleanish type stuff.
Okay.
So like the Eagles and Dire Straits and some country stuff. So there's always those lovely big warm guitar tones, and Stevie Ray Vaughan actually.
Sorry.
So
was actually that's the Eagles. That's another name I mentioned that
yeah, yeah.
I'm not really interested in sounding like that.
So yeah, I love that. Just a really big, good fendered guitar tones.
Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And in a recorded scenario, if you have a place where you can have an amp and you can set the amp up and put a mic in front of it and crank it and yada, yep. yada, yada, there's nothing really, you know, quite like it. But all I'm getting at is in a live scenario, I don't yeah. think people well, can tell the difference.
Well, I guess that's where the like little lunchbox amps are really coming into their own now.
Yeah.
Because you get 10, 15 watts and you can
wind
it up. Sounds good. You're not killing front row.
But, I mean, with a lot of that stuff, and that's where, like, all that Axe FX and Kemper and all that stuff comes in, I mean, you don't even need an amp on stage. You can just have it all coming through monitors and in-ears and all that sort of stuff. And, I mean, more and more people... start using that in live rigs, Kempers, Axe FX, and again mentioning Pete Thorne, in one of his rig rundowns recently, he had his big 100 watt heads going into a cabinet for him on stage.
Yeah.
But then he had one of those two knot torpedo things going out to front of house. So the front of house, there's no mics in front of his amp. Front yeah. of house gets the
gotcha.
The cab simulation. Yeah.
No,
and most people in the audience wouldn't be able to tell. Even the musos wouldn't be able to tell.
No, of course not.
You're right?
My foot's just gone to sleep.
I'm boring his foot, so it goes to sleep. So all I'm getting at is I think a lot of musicians are, and especially I think guitar players.
Yeah.
Are almost a little afraid of innovation, and it's sort of stuck in this. Oh, mate, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Stevie Ray only used these pedals, so if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for me. But it's not, you know what I mean? And I always bring up Stevie Ray, I'm sorry, because it's just... It seems like most guitar players you talk to, it's like, oh, mate, Stevie Ray. It's like the epitome, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And it's not to me, I'm sorry. Let the hate mail begin.
I wonder why that... kind of era of, I guess he's a lot more in the 80s than 60s and 70s, but wonder why that kind of era is always the epitome of guitar tone then. I guess it's maybe stuff you grew up listening to, so you have like this childhood, like...
Possibly.
Not you, but...
Not me, no.
Everyone else.
Normal humans.
Maybe it's like, yeah, a kind of... going through adolescence and teenager discovering guitar, rock and roll thing.
Yeah.
So you always have that, the first guitar tone you fell in love with.
I guess, yeah, possibly. Yeah. Don't know. Yeah. Don't know. Just, yeah. So if you have any comments on that, you know, check out our Facebook page and leave some comments, or YouTube, or I think you can leave comments. And think you can leave comments on Podbean.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm still new to the whole podcast thing, so I'm trying to work out how it all works. But if you can leave comments, leave them. Let me know what you think. That's just, you know, just my personal opinion. I'm just, I'm, you know, in a whole, not to rave on about it, but, you know, people go, you know, oh, you've got like, I don't know, you know, 10 pedals there, mate. You know, it's a what's your, your tone's going to suffer. And it's like, well, no, because I like the tone.
Those pedals.
With those pedals in it.
Yeah.
And to me, I set, you know, I don't know if people plug the guitar straight into the amp, set up the sound, and then plug the pedals in. I don't know. And maybe then it sounds different. But to me, I don't know. I just plug everything in, set it up the way it sounds good to me, and it sounds good to me. You know, that's...
Yeah. That's what matters,
right? I don't care if it's true bypass, or I don't care if there's, oh, my buffer, that'll colour your tone. Yeah, I don't care.
Probably will.
Like, probably will, but maybe it doesn't bother me.
That's a Hendrix. Hendrix thing. He had like 50 foot of cable, which like took all the high end off the Screaming Marshall that's wound up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm sure his pedals were. Brace yourself, people. They were not true bypass. But yeah, anyway, so I mean, that's just, I'm just a grumpy guy. yeah, but it's just me. So yeah, I think I'm all for new stuff. Bring new stuff out.
Yeah, cool.
I'm all for, I think, all that Axe FX stuff, Kemper stuff, Line 6 Helix. I'd love to try all that stuff out, and I think the idea behind it is great. And but I think where the whole rant started is how people complain that those things don't sound exactly like the amps.
Yeah.
But do they have to sound exactly like the amps? As long as it sounds good, does it matter that it sounds like that amp? You know, it's like I mean, this is going back a while, but the whole Line 6 pod thing. I mean, I've still got a pod at home.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded all right, actually. I didn't think it sounded bad, but everyone was, oh, mate, that doesn't sound like a Marshall, or that doesn't sound like it. Yeah, it doesn't, but it had its own sort of sound.
Sure. Yeah, I never liked them, personally.
I thought, not for live, but for at home, I never thought, I don't know, it didn't bother me.
Okay.
Maybe I'll just, stuff like that doesn't bother me, I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not a, I mustn't be a tone purist.
Well, it's kind of coming back to what we were talking about earlier, about synthy stuff, because what's that company that has the, we were talking about earlier with the pedal housing for the modular synth?
Oh, Pittsburgh Modular.
Pittsburgh, I was trying to think of the city. Yeah, they're kind of doing, like, really pushing that to the nth degree.
Yeah, they've got that, what is it called?
If you look up Pittsburgh Modular,
There's a really cool thing on YouTube, and Vernon Reed is
Living Colour.
Out of Living Colour is doing some stuff with them, and they have, it's basically a guitar pedal with a guitar preamp in it.
Yeah,
That is like a Eurorack thing.
Yep,
and you can put Eurorack modules into it.
Mm.
And they were doing some really quirky stuff, and it was really cool. I really liked it.
Yeah, so I guess there are people really pushing it.
Yeah, taking that sort of modular synth thing
and
putting it into the guitar world.
Yeah.
With filters and LFOs and...
Yep.
It sounded really cool. If you get a chance, check it out. I think it's just on their Pittsburgh Modular YouTube channel.
Mm.
And there's a couple of... I think there's two or three videos, and one is they're talking through it. One is Vernon Reed doing all this weird shreddy stuff over it, and then I think he does Star Spangled Banner or something
through
modular stuff. Anyway, check it out. I think that's really, really cool, and I love that sort of stuff. That's I'm all for that sort of stuff.
Nice.
You know, going somewhere, taking the guitar somewhere where it doesn't necessarily go a lot. That's sort of my philosophy in guitar playing anyway. Well,
Vernon's one of those guys that definitely does that.
He does a lot of that, yeah. If you watch the Premier Guitar rig rundowns, I think there's two maybe with him.
Oh, yeah, I've only seen one.
He's got some... He does some wild stuff because he's got... He does all the... Like, pretty much anything you can do, he does.
That's twice.
Yeah.
I think he runs, like, Guitar Rig, is it, as well?
Well, I think he has Guitar Rig in it, and he has another thing on his iPad, and he has... Yeah. He has all this... It's wacky, and he blends between it.
And not all of it's, like, expensive, out of reach
stuff. No.
Like, it's just kind of using these little processes and... Like, there might be some Zoom or Digitech things in there. And
yeah, he does some... He was always one of those guys.
Inventive, I guess, is the...
I mean, I was never a huge fan of his playing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I always really liked Living Colour.
Sure.
And I like...
Yeah, good band, yeah.
A lot of the stuff he was involved with where he played guitar. But then he's not... I wouldn't call him, you know, when he does a lot of lead stuff, it's just, let's hit as many notes as fast as humanly possible as you can.
Sure.
Whether they're in tune or not is a different sort of story. But, which, I mean, has a place, but I think he's, what I really like about him is just what he does with the guitar.
Yeah.
And he does some wild stuff with it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to make a lot of enemies with this podcast. That's just the way I am. How's that weather been lately, Alex?
It's been raining last weekend.
I've heard. Also, we should say hello to, was it Sean? Yeah, Sean from Lollygagger Effects.
Oh, yeah.
We might be doing a podcast with him coming up at some stage, and hopefully at some stage we'll get to demo some of his pedals too. Really cool looking pedals in wooden enclosures with like flame maple and stuff on it.
Yeah.
Looks really, really cool.
Yeah, sure.
So we might be doing might be doing a podcast with him coming up. We've got to work out how the whole recording Skype or FaceTime works.
Yes.
With the audio and making it sound semi-decent and finding a spot where there's good internet, which in Australia sometimes is a bit of a problem.
Government.
Big hello to him, and hopefully there'll be some stuff coming up soon. How are we going for time? We're almost at an hour.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you want to share with us, Alex, or anything else that's exciting and new?
No,
Oh, also coming up soonish, we're going to have, last year we did a pedal of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do... I think we're going to do Pedal of the Year again. But this year, the question is...
Yes.
Because we've started doing... We're doing our own demos.
Yep.
But then we also do demos for a local shop here, the Mooloolaba Music Centre, where we do a lot of other things, like guitars and amps and keyboards sometimes. Now, the question is, should we do... pedal of the year, or should we do like a any gear of the year?
Well,
or should we do two? Should we do the pedal of the year, and should we do like a other things of the year?
Well, is there something else of the year that's not a pedal that would compete for?
Well, I have to say I was well impressed with some of the amps we've done for Mooloolaba Music.
Which one in particular?
The DV Mark, the Silver Gen, was a great amp.
Yeah, that's right.
And in all honesty, the Boss Katana, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Have a few people bagging it on YouTube and saying it's, you know, why didn't Boss do this? Why didn't Boss do that? At that price point, I think it's nothing else comes close to it, because nothing else has as much in it and sounds as good at that price point. Because, I mean, what, the one we did, the 50-watt one, was, what, $399 Australian dollars?
Yeah, something like that. Because, like, back in the olden days, in the 90s...
When Steve Ray was around.
Yeah.
No, not 90s.
It wasn't. he spent more on a Bandit.
Well, that's it. That's it. I thought that's what I mean.
And have it sound like a bandit.
I really think
with that, you know, the vinyl that would like take your skin off, like the PV stuff you used to use in the '90s.
Yeah,
it was like so tough, but like you'd remove skin if you looked at it. Like, if you brush your leg against it, bone would come through.
I really think Boss have been like last year, 2015. Was the year of Electro-Harmonics and Keeley.
Yeah.
It was just every second month something new came out, and it was all cool stuff, all really good stuff. This year, I reckon, Boss have just kind of knocked it out of the park. I think they've been releasing a lot of really good stuff.
Was it the GT1?
The GT1, that's recently? Yeah, that's
pretty cool.
Again, for the price.
For multi-effects.
That's the sounds you can get out of it for the price.
Yeah.
I mean, The actual build quality of it is a different story because it's a plastic box, but the sounds are insane.
Mm.
And the Katana stuff, I think, is there anything out there for that price that comes close to it? I mean, there's a whole Line 6 Spider stuff and all that, which we haven't actually had a chance to really look at.
The Vox things, I guess.
Yeah, but still, the Vox and I mean, the Marshall Code thing, not a fan. The PV, not PV. Yeah, it was PV.
Yeah, the digital thing.
The, what's it called? The,
I don't know.
Something with a Y in it. Viper.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of it.
No.
The Vox stuff, what was that Vox one? Was it a AN or something like that?
AV50?
AV? Which looks like the old TV, like looks like an old TV.
Yeah, yeah.
With a sort of pillow in the front. With... That, was it four different amps or five different amps with different analog circuits?
Preamp voices, eh?
Yeah. That sounded really cool.
That's kind of right.
But still, I think that's much more expensive.
Mm.
And it's still, I don't know if it... So that's what I'm getting at. Like, is that something we should include in that?
Yeah.
In stuff?
Maybe. We shall debate.
We shall debate. So let us know.
Yeah.
Should we just stick to pedals or should we do... Because, I mean, the thing is, for people that didn't really watch it last year and don't really know, and, I mean, we didn't really know last year what we were doing either, but we're not talking about everything that's come out this year. We're talking about just what we've reviewed this year.
Yeah.
So in this calendar year, what we've reviewed, that's going to be... So even if it's old, that could become the pedal of the year or the gear of the year or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think out of our reviews. Actually, it'd be interesting if anyone cares... let us know what you think out of everything we've done in 2016 so far. What did you like the best as an, or which pedal did you think, or amp we've done? I mean, we've done amps too. What did you think? What did you like the best? And now we've got an awkward silence. All right, so I think it's probably time to wrap it up. We're just over an hour, so. Well, thanks for listening. Hopefully, it sort of is in some way somewhat entertaining and you like listening to what we're doing. There's going to be heaps more. We're going to keep talking about gear we do, like gear reviews we've done. We'll have some more guests coming up as well.
Sure will.
And the guests, usually we try to do a video section of it. So there's the podcast and then there's a video part that comes with it. And heaps more demos on our channel and heaps more demos on the Mooloolaba Music Centre channel, so make sure to check them out. I'll put links up in the description. Also let us know if there's anything in particular you want us to talk about. I mean, maybe you want to hear our opinions on things.
I mean
probably not so much my opinion on things, because I'm just a grumpy old guy, but let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about or any questions you have. Let us know. We can do like a question section if people actually ask
Q&A.
Question, like a Q&A thing. That's about it, isn't it?
Cool. Yeah, I think I'll leave it there.
Leave it there. So we'll try to do this every couple of weeks and see how we go.
Very cool.
All right.
Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks, guys, and see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Cue music. Yeah.